Hi and welcome to the latest edition of the 2020 podcast. This morning I have with me Teresa Stanford. Teresa is the founder of Tess Stanford Interior Architects. Teresa, you're very welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Tony.
So, Teresa, the first question I'd like to ask you today is, can you tell us a little bit about your own story, how you managed to find your way into the wonderful world of interior architecture?
Right, so Tony, I started out, I think, very young. I think I was about 6 or 7 when my obsession with space started.
Okay.
I drove my family mad. I used to lie on the, you know, bedroom floors in throughout the house, or the living room floor, look at the ceiling footprint above, and then decide where the furniture is going to move, and then everyone got back and everything was moved. So
this is 6 years of age.
They're six, about six, seven, yeah. Always obsessed with making things look better. So right. If I wasn't happy with how some room was laid out, it moved and it changed.
Okay.
And then it moved on to Lego, and very quickly. And I was unhappy to play with the small Lego, so I had to play with the big Lego. So straight away, I'm up there with my siblings. My sister was a few years older than me. We were probably around 7 years, and she was probably 10. And we were building houses that were like a couple of feet long. Spent 2 months, get up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
Spent 2 months designing these houses. I mean, they were, you know, serious kick-ass Lego houses. And I would always do the inside. So it's all split levels and how people moved around the space, and the front of my house looked crap. And then my sister was obsessed with how the front of her house looked and nothing was happening on the inside. Then we'd swap over. I'd do her inside, she'd do my outside. 2 months later, we'd have it finished.
So you worked together, but we worked together, competitive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then she became an architect.
Right.
And I went into interior architecture.
Very good. Very interesting.
That's how it started.
Yeah, it's a great story. Right from a very early age, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you progressed up along through your teens and managed to find your way towards college.
Yes, yes. I went to art college and thought drawing pictures was much more fun.
Okay.
Than school. And then just progressed into interior architecture. That's just where I wanted to go. And then moved to London. So I was trained in England and then moved down to London. Worked there for 10 years. And
really?
Then moved back to Ireland. Yeah.
Fantastic, fantastic. So that leads us to your own interior architecture practice, which is based in Limerick and in London, specialising in branded environments, hospitality and high-end retail. So tell us a little bit about what you've been up to since you've launched your own practice.
Lots. I mean, I do a lot of work. I kept in touch with a lot of the partners over in from my London days.
Yeah.
So, and some of those were actually based down in France and some in the States. So I've literally worked all over, been blessed, worked in the most amazing places on some amazing brands.
Really?
So, yeah. So people, Disney, Sesame Street,
really?
All sorts. And then here, you know, moving down to last year doing Morrison's Bar and Kitchen in Ballysimon, so I'll do pubs, done retail, so Garrett's.
Garrett's Butchers, yeah, of course, the projects you really enjoy
all
working
good fun. And down to doing a church in Kilkee, and currently working on a hotel, bar, restaurant and snug, which is coming up in Clare soon.
So, fantastic, yeah. Very, very
exciting. So it's varied, it's always varied.
Very much so, and it's international experience that you have. I'm interested in hearing a little bit about Disney and the projects that you would have worked on there. Superb brand to be working with, no doubt.
Absolutely, and it's fun. So in the TV industry, it's, you know, Disney, Sesame, whoever it is, it's all good fun, and it's very interactive, and it's child, you know, it's childlike. I mean, I met the Cookie Monster, and it was
really?
The best day I've ever had at work.
Okay.
You can't knock it. Disney then would be someone who would spend, you know, a massive amount of money, invest in, these were exhibition stands, and my part in those projects was literally to come up with ideas, and I would be given a brief and they would literally say, go mad. The budget's huge, go mad. Just be creative.
Really?
And have fun. That doesn't always happen,
of
but
course.
It's fun.
So you have complete creative license, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. So, Teresa, the Tess Stanford Interior Architects brand, your core message of naturally inspired, captivating spaces, I'm intrigued to learn a little bit more about what that means.
Okay, so the naturally inspired bit comes from colour inspiration.
Okay.
I believe all colour palettes exist naturally in our environment, on land, underwater, it's all there for us. And that's huge in my work and evident as well. Captivating spaces is more about consumer experience. So I believe that as designers, our vision is to
translate our client's story, and we're there to be their voice. We're storytellers of whatever their product, service or brand is. And that interior should be an extension of your brand culture.
Very true.
It must speak to your target demographic and your market. And it must evoke the personality of the brand. If the consumer can feel the brand, then our job's done.
Sure. And that same process applies whether that's an exhibition space, a retail environment, a church, a restaurant. It's the same thing. So you're
absolutely. If you're a restaurant or if you're in retail, so it's either a product, a service, and that's all falls under a brand. You need to have that personality come across. It's all about how people feel.
Sure.
I believe interior architecture is, and your vision is to translate what the client wants, but to make the customer, allow the customer to feel what the essence of your brand is all about, so that they experience it, they feel it, and they want to come back again.
Yeah, very good.
It's all about making money.
Very good. And we can see that you have a passion for digging very deep and really understanding that personality of the client.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to just influence a design that you like, you really need to understand their customers, what's important to them, what their value proposition is. And that's your starting point.
Absolutely. I mean, if you finish a space, so say it's a, you know, it's a restaurant, that client's invested heavily.
Sure.
And you've coached that client into how much they need to invest to, you know, get a return on that investment. Therefore, you have to stand by what you're doing. You have to think about who's the target market.
Sure.
What are they going to feel when they walk into the space? And are they going to come back again?
Sure.
There's many, many aspects to it, but essentially you have to stand over a project, and if they're making money afterwards, then it's work.
Job done. Very
Job
good.
Job done.
So, Teresa, to any businesses out there today, what do you believe are the main benefits that a business can achieve from activating their brand internally?
Well, for me, I hadn't done it for years and wanted to do it, and eventually got around to doing it last year with yourselves. It's most important to figure out who you are and who you want to be. The workshops I did with yourselves helped me to identify what I wanted the brand to be and what market I want to target.
Sure.
I don't want to get to 5 years' time and I've just organically just gone in a direction that I had no control over.
Sure.
I want to know where I'm going now.
Sure.
And work towards that.
Very good.
When it comes to employees, I think you're packaging your culture. I think they respond to brands, and I think packaging, because that's the kind of world we live in. People want to be proud of who they work for and buy into what it stands for. And you as an employer want people to buy into the qualities and the personality of your brand.
Sure.
You're creating something that people want to belong to.
Sure.
It's as simple as that. That's the culture we live in. So you've got to do it for your own business. And as a self-employed person, you can just forget about all these things and think, well, I'm actually doing okay. But really, who are you? Who do you want to be?
Yeah, who do you want to be is the major question.
Yeah. You know what you are now, but where do you want to go?
Be true to who you are as a brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
get excited about who you want to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And particularly when you walk into a space and you're proud, and what a business owner is extremely proud of, this is a true representation of everything that I believe in, that we believe in, that we're striving in to
get. This is what we get out of bed for in the morning. Yeah. This is what we're working 6-7 days a week for sometimes. This
sure.
is what we're putting our heart and soul. This is what we're, you know, this is what we create.
So sometimes the benefits may be intangible for a business owner. So, you know, in terms of it's the sense of feel good that they get and that their customers get from actually being in that environment.
Absolutely.
Whether it being a marketing suite or, as we said earlier, a retail environment or a restaurant. Exactly. Okay, very good.
Yeah. Okay.
So knowing your market is obviously critical. You really, really need to understand who are you trying to reach out to? Who's that tribe of people that you want to follow?
Absolutely. And like your brand must speak to your market, and if your market's high-end, then your brand must reflect that. And if your market is young and trendy, your brand has to reflect that too.
Exactly.
That's what people are buying into.
So you need to align yourself with what your market is and what they're looking for. So Teresa, any business owners that are listening to this at present, what is the best advice that you give to them when it comes to looking at activating the brand internally?
Invest and do it.
Really, that simple?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. So Teresa, 2020 and ourselves have collaborated.
Okay.
So Teresa, 2020 and Tess Stanford, we have collaborated on a number of projects together. It's been a privilege to work with you guys. One of the projects we worked very closely on would be Garrett's Butchers, a well-known brand in Limerick for the last number of years, based in Dordoyle and in Castletroy. When we first started talking to you, we had a challenge in the Racefield store, and the challenge was around improving the customer journey, improving the customer experience, and also taking the brand to the next level. And when we first started working with you, it was great to see your perspective that you brought to that particular project. The key challenge that we had, as you can remember, was the actual footprint, the size of the store. And, you know, we really needed to do a lot with a very little amount of space.
There was no space, Tony.
Yeah,
if we're being honest. There was no space.
Yeah, you're right. There was very little space and a lot of footfall coming into that store. But I think that we were able to stand back and look at the brand and also to really understand the customers that are coming through the doors and understand their challenges. And we knew that time was of the essence for these people coming in the door. They needed, most of them needed to get in and get out, you know, in a relatively short period of time. So trying to carry the brand through and making sure that the customer was comfortable in the environment was a challenge, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, you had like such a small space, such a busy shop, and you literally had left and right. How do you captivate, you know, that consumer and get across and sell, not just on the right hand side of the meat counter, but anyone that knows Gareth will know this in Dordoyle. But it's on the way up in the meat counter as you're queuing. What's happening on the left hand side and how is that speaking to you? Sometimes in particularly in that environment, it was about kind of cleaning up so the product, because the product is so good at Gareth's. That's on show and that's speaking to consumers. It's jumping out. You're hungry. You're like, oh my God, I want to buy everything.
Yes.
Everything. It's like a carnivore sweet shop.
Yes, it looks so good.
Yeah. And then we kind of had fun with the graphics as well, because a lot of my ideas influenced a lot of the work you'd already done.
Absolutely.
So we had a lot of fun there.
Yeah, we did actually.
Well, yeah.
You know, carrying through all of the graphics across the wall, the back walls. Yeah, the pursuit of perfect meat. And you know, we know Garrett and Fiona and their team were a joy to work with on the project. They understand the importance of their brand and they understand that it's something that lives and breathes with their customers and that they keep innovating with it. So that was a great project to work on. We also worked on another project last year, which was another superb project, which was in Morrison's in Ballysimon of Limerick, an institution in Limerick, in fact, dating back to 1896, I think, if I have my numbers correct. And again, the challenge there was to rebrand the organisation, which we did, to position it for growth over the next few years, but to develop the brand in an extremely captivating way, both inside and out. So certainly a challenging project.
It was, you know, considering what was there, what was existing, and how it didn't work. We put huge emphasis, both yourselves and ourselves, on customer journey.
Yes.
It's all about that. We put a big emphasis on the food trade because that's where it's heading now. It's all about food in bars.
Yeah.
And how people move through space and how people feel in the space. Like Morrison's was never going to be, oh, it's the new trendy, this is where to go. Because it just wasn't that type of clientele. So we looked at the market. You'd done your market research. Mm. I got handed, you know, some great notes. On, we met the client and it was about people. The biggest thing in Morrison's was it needed to be homely.
Yes.
So if people are saying that, your existing customers are saying it's homely, it's warm, but it needs to be done up.
Yes.
Fine. You've got to keep those qualities in there because that's what it's about. That's the experience.
Sure.
If you come in and you jigsaw Pinterest ideas that you've seen all around, like some designers
we
do,
see that out there,
you fluff around, you've got longevity of a couple of months and it's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone. And you invest so much in your business that you want a return on that and you want to still be busy in 6 years' time, 7 years' time, and just keep pushing it and growing it.
So true, and Leo and Sandra, working on that project with them, the brief was very clear from the start. This needed to be a space that our customers continue to enjoy spending their time in.
Yeah.
And it needed to retain that homely feel.
Yeah.
And anybody who's listening to this podcast who hasn't been out there, I strongly suggest, you know, go out there, visit Morrison's in Ballysimon, take a look for yourself. It's a project that Tess Stanford is extremely proud of, her and her team have completed under a tight schedule as well. And we look forward to watching Morrison's blossom and grow over the next few years. So, Teresa, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us. We wish you and your firm all the best in 2017. I know you have a lot of extremely exciting projects coming up, both in Ireland and abroad. We'll certainly be watching and wishing you all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony.